Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Med Locket. Maria here.
Hey guys, and Tammy here as well.
Today we decided to do an episode on advice we would give our former M1 selves.
Wow, we're M2s now. That's crazy.
Yeah, sometimes when we do like patient encounters, I'm like, hi, I'm Maria and I'm an M1. I'm an M2 now.
Like, I hear that happens even in residency, like introducing yourself as a doctor gets very weird. Like, my name is Doctor. This. So we'll get the hang of it eventually, guys. But we're going to be giving you guys M1 advice, and just we'll do a separate episode on how to study for, I guess, your M1 year. But for now, we're just going to be giving general advice, things we wish we knew or things we found helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our first piece of advice would be to find a good support system and make sure to prioritize your mental health. Yeah. This is something that's very important. Medical school can be very isolating. You don't realize how much you're studying. You study a majority of the day, and mm-hmm. sometimes it can be so monotonous that you forget the other aspects of your life.
It's important to remember that you have a life outside of medicine.
Because it can be really easy to get wrapped up in everything that's going on in medical school. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of resources to help people, you know, prioritize and balance their life. There's a lot of schools have therapists and counselors that you can visit.
Therapists are important.
Yeah, that you can visit to make sure that you process things. You know, a lot of things are going on in medical school. It's important to process that.
It really is. And just like Maria said, remembering not to isolate yourself, because it's very easy to do that. I know my first year, I found moments that I felt very like isolated from my peers. And I have a large class, so it's very easy to like, I guess everyone kind of like forms their group and everyone's kind of like separate or mm-hmm. exists co-independently from each other. But I had friends, but I just didn't prioritize like making time in my schedule to like, hey, I have to interact with people and be a human being. Very important. So make sure that you have people that you can run to whenever you're feeling that way.
And sometimes, you know, having these friends around doesn't have to be like hanging out with them or doing non-school related things. Yeah. Sometimes it's just studying in silence. You don't realize how important it is to have human interaction, even if it's just studying together until you get into medical school.
And honestly, something that I think like helped me a lot and is still helping me is I, even within having friends in school, I still have very good relationships with my friends from like my closer friends, like Maria, for example, or my friends from, I mean, we have to have a relationship by default, but I would love her
regardless. We're stuck together
by default, but relationships from undergrad or relationships with other friends, and making friends outside of medical school is also very important.
It is. It's hard though.
It's hard, but very.
We're figuring that out.
We're literally in the process of getting that worked up. We'll update you guys as we get along, but we think it's very important.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it can get overwhelming.
When your friendships revolve around medical school.
And we all stress together and add to each other's stress, and then it just gets very. It's a lot, guys, but next time.
Our second tip is to figure out how you study and not to copy what everyone else is doing around you. Yeah. It can be really easy to, you know, fall in the trap of, oh, this is what's working for Jason. Let me follow Jason's study plan. But if Jason never studied the way that you study and what you're doing is working, then you should focus on what works for you.
I love how she just pulled out like a random.
I actually know what Jason's are. I felt bad. Nothing against Jason.
It's okay. I thought it was just some random name. Like, just Jason is the first name that comes up. No, but I completely agree. I always tell people that I think like the hardest thing about starting out medical school is not necessarily the workload is a lot, yes, but it's manageable.
It is.
It's the transition, like transitioning over from undergrad mm-hmm. and then trying to implement how I studied in undergrad. Along with the amount of information
yes.
and making it like an efficient transition.
Exactly.
So finding the way you study, one of the things that I found helpful was I remember times I struggled in undergrad and yeah. I remember what I did to change that. And I was like, wait, like I was not doing well on these exams, and then I studied a different way and I started doing extremely well. So how can I replicate that in this? And I found that like, okay, it's because that's how I study. I'm in like an audio learner, like I have to listen mm-hmm. to things over and over again to really get them to stick or problem-based learner, I have to do questions. So just different things, like remember what made you successful in undergrad and try to replicate that in a sense, just with more
flexibility.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. I was at an interview and they were just talking about how they value medical students that weren't perfect because they had a lot to offer as far as like flexibility and I learning agree. From your mistakes. And I feel like that's such a good point. You know, like if something has worked for you for all of undergrad mm-hmm. and it doesn't work for you in medical school, sometimes people get very like frantic and they start panicking. But there will be elements about your undergraduate studying, you know, technique that will apply to medical school, but you have to be flexible, you know, to change it around. So our third piece of advice is not to beat yourself up for not being perfect and not having everything figured out from the beginning.
You will not. Like, there's this ongoing joke with all my friends is like, are we ever going to be ever caught up with anything? Like, you will always be perpetually behind. It's okay. Like, don't get frustrated about that fact that, like, you have so much going on. It's a lot of information. Someone always gives like the analogy of like it's a fire hydrant of information just like being shoved at your face. Like, imagine, just that's a lot. Like, it's so, don't beat yourself up that you're not perfect and you don't have it all together and you might not be making the best grades as you can, but there's always room for improvement. It's better not to be like perfect now and think you have it all together, and then when you get to like later on down the line as a doctor, you're just like, oh wait, no, I could have learned from my mistakes. It's better to learn from your failure, and not necessarily saying failing has to be a prerequisite to growing.
And it's not even big failures. It's not tiny big failures,
but tiny things like, oh, I could have done this better. It grows your character it and does. Stuff, so don't be afraid of that.
I think that's something that I'm still learning to, you know, deal with, especially when it comes with like small groups and, you know, being in situations where you have to like contribute in bigger groups and not knowing how to like put my best foot forward and not wanting to embarrass myself in front of my peers. Mm-hmm. And I always remember like I did like this Bible Bowl competition in high school, and there was this person in one of the teams, and he would always like press the buzzer even when he knew like he wasn't right. Yeah, he would just do it, and everyone was looking at this man like, come on, there's something up. You really need to stop.
But eventually, he knows it.
And guess who won the competition? He did. And sometimes I feel like I hinder myself by not being able to give myself that space to make mistakes. Because at the end of the day, you grow.
You do grow.
You grow and you get better. Like, making mistakes isn't the end of the story. I remember someone was, like, talking about celebrities and, like, how they all had some phases that you're just like, was this the phase for them? But they're never remembered by their, you know, cringy phases. They're remembered by their greatness. They're not remembered by their failures. So, you grow from these mistakes.
So don't be afraid of them.
Like, don't be afraid at all.
It'll be okay. You'll be
fine. It's a part of the journey.
It really is. And don't neglect that.
So, yeah.
Our next piece of advice, I think, would be building relationships with upperclassmen. I had and still do have a wonderful relationship with my M2, she's now an M3, mentor. And I remember at the beginning of each unit, I would sit down with her, how should I study for this unit? Like, just having somebody that you can like confide in that's already gone through what you've gone through before. Yeah. Like, they've experienced your curriculum. They know the ins and outs of how to study, how to navigate through different professors or different teachers and all those other things.
And how to balance life too.
Yeah, because they've done it. So
they've done it.
Please, like,
Take advantage of people who don't reinvent the wheel. If it doesn't have to be reinvented,
it really does not. Go with it.
Go with it.
Don't make yourself your life harder, please. We want the best for you.
We do. We do. Our next piece of information is to limit your resources. You know, there's a lot of resources being thrown at you. But I think one of the things we have this professor at our school called Dr. Hu, and she calls it, you know, dating. Like, you date a resource. You see, hey, do I like this? Does it work for me? If it doesn't, you know, you move on. At least you tried it. So, you know, by the time, you know, it's time to actually, like, implement it into dedicated period, you know what resources work. So don't just, like, throw away resources, but, you know, give them trials and, you know, assess whether they're actually helpful or if they're just fluff. Because sometimes, you know, there's resources that are fluff. You've already learned it in one resource. Mm-hmm. Then why spend the time to relearn it in another resource when you can use your time more efficiently? So, yeah, just limit your resources and only work with resources that help you. Because resources that work for one person, you know, one that works for Jack won't work for Nancy.
Who are these names?
I don't know a Jack or a Nancy.
Okay, we've heard these names, guys, but Yeah, it doesn't have to, if one resource works for other people, it doesn't necessarily have to be like your top resource.
I'm going to need you to use names to help it.
I'm not good at just making up names on the go and stuff. What were some resources, like top three resources you felt were useful for you in first year?
First year, the anatomy app, the iPad anatomy app.
Atlas.
I love
that so much. I remember my mentor told me to get it.
And they have like a sale around this time that school starts. That one was a lifesaver. Mm-hmm. And then I think for micro, it was Sketchy.
Yeah, so I do micro second year, and I love it so much.
Yeah, Sketchy helps. Mm-hmm. And then I wish that I started Pathoma earlier, like for foundations. I wish that I used Pathoma earlier. And I also wish that I used Anki earlier. I really didn't know how to implement it into my studying because I knew that I didn't want it to be my primary resource, but I knew that it helped me like with retention. So now I'm learning how to, you know, put it into like everything else. But I wish I started it earlier so I would have those cards built up.
Says the girl that has like over 1,000 cards to do.
I do, because I really want it. Okay, so it's it's Labor Day weekend, and I'm here with my best friends.
Ooh, she called me her best friend, guys.
And I just really want to like make sure that I take advantage of these moments because it's been a really good weekend.
Been a while.
And that's another tip we can give. You know, take moments that
take
you
trips,
won't.
Guys, live your best life.
Yes, live your best life.
Put education first, but
and minimize your loans as well. Yeah. But you know, just make sure that you're present in the moments that need. That need your attention, that you need to be present in. School will always be there. It will always, always be there. But friendships, moments, those are things that you can't get back once they're gone. So just make sure that you're in those moments.
Yeah. I think for my first year, top three resources, I like Boards and Beyond. I use that.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Dr. Ryan is godsend. Like that man is actually amazing. I would send him gifts if I could. Because that's
find his PO box.
I wonder if he has one. Like he's actually amazing. So I use Sports and Beyond first year. My school, our exams are NBME, so I had to use first aid by default. So I started learning how to annotate in first aid, and I thought that was very helpful. Because now going back and seeing my first aid book, I can be like, okay, like this is stuff I already like. Have written notes. I actually understand these concepts. Another thing for anatomy, I really liked Grey's Anatomy student review for questions. I thought that was amazing. And also University of Michigan has this like ProSector site, and that saved me on all my like legit all my anatomy practicals. Guys, University of Michigan, their gross anatomy, like they have really pictures good. Like everything, like different nice ProSections you can really go through and really understand like the anatomy. So just key advice. Yeah,
I agree on that one. The UMich lifesaver,
honestly. Literally. What's our fifth piece of advice?
Our sixth piece of advice is to get involved in something that you love and not to feel rushed to get involved. I think that you know, when you start school and you see like your classmates, you know, starting to get involved, it can be like, am I slow? Should I be getting involved in stuff?
There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but I feel like at first, like, again, like, your first priority is to be in school and to get good grades. And once you have that under your belt, then you can get involved in things. But get involved in things that you are passionate about, things that give you life, things that make you happy. And that doesn't necessarily have to be school-centered, mm-hmm. because you're in school a lot of the time. You need things that, you know, remind you, you know, why I love medicine, why I love to live life. Mm-hmm. Go dancing. I do salsa dancing now.
Ooh, spontaneous.
And, like, I do, like, I'm involved in SNMA, and that's those are things that, like, make me understand like why I'm alive. It's not only about medicine all the time. It's like these are things that make me passionate about just being
yourself.
Yeah, just being myself and just being like contributing to the world. So yeah, just find stuff that you love.
Yeah, I remember one day I called my mom, and she was just not really open to being sympathetic to me at this point. I think she was just tired of my mess. So I called her and I was crying, and I was just like, I really don't know what I'm doing. Like, I feel like I really don't know. Like, I feel I don't know who I am anymore. Like, I was just overwhelmed with so much work. Like, I was doing so much. It was during my first year, and I just felt very, like covered in work that I couldn't see the purpose of me being in medicine. Mm. And I think a lot of students like struggle with that, especially first year, like getting to a point where you're like, why am I even here? All I'm doing is studying. Like, what is the application of, yeah, you're studying to save lives, but sometimes in the moment it feels as though like you're just studying. So I called my mom and I was crying. She wasn't being sympathetic. Like, we got it. She hung up the phone. She was not having it that day. God, like, oh, yeah. So after that, I started, I'm like, okay, I'm going to start volunteering. Like, I remember in undergrad, I really loved volunteering at free clinics. And that, like, that was something that made me find the purpose in why I was pursuing what I was doing. So I started volunteering more in, like, the free clinics. At my school, we have a lot of community involvement. And I started, like, I got involved in, like, organizations like SNMA, BMA in my school that I'm passionate about. And I started seeing like the purpose in just me being myself, like in these like spaces, but also like why I want to do medicine again. So maybe it's like finding just avenues of things to get involved in that you love that will remind you of what you're doing in school. Because sometimes studying can be a lot and sometimes you lose sight of the end goal even within that. So hopefully third and fourth year are better, because all this sitting down to study, I'm just like, I really don't know how learning about the mitochondria is going to help me take care of patients later on, but we will see.
We will. I promise you, there's going to be a disease that you need to know.
Yeah.
The mitochondria's role in.
That's true. There's a lot. Now I'm in second year. It's a lot. So we hope that all this advice was really helpful for you guys, and we will continue to put out episodes the second and fourth Friday of the month, so stay tuned. Follow us on Instagram at The Month Locket, and interact with us. Send us, like, things. Like, just comment on
pictures. Like, you wanted to send the doctor again.
Right.
We don't have a P.O. box.
We don't have a P.O. box, but interact with us. Yeah. We'd love to talk to you guys more and, like, really learn a little bit more about you guys. And hopefully this podcast, you're learning about us too, so keep in touch, and we will talk to you guys later.
We'll see you next time. Bye, guys. Bye.